And let's see, my tape recorder is now working. And I have to ask you at the very beginning of this tape, if I have your permission to tape it, it's the Linda Tripp Law in Maryland. So, Mary Margaret, may I please tape this conversation?
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you very much. Hate to do it, but according to Jason, it's a legal necessity.
Well, we don't want to have any
more. No, we don't want. Don't want to do that. No.
Linda Tripp.
That's right. Exactly. When did you come to Columbia?
I came in May of 1971.
And what drew you here?
Well, actually, my husband was going into business with his brother-in-law in the cheese shop.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, we'd been down to visit because my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law loved Columbia, loved the concept, loved the ideas, and we loved the ideas, too.
Okay. And what ideas in particular drew you?
We liked the diversity, and we liked the idea of everything being new, everyone coming from a different place, us being kind of pioneers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what were your first impressions when you came?
When we first visited, of course, my sister-in-law, Grace Nelson, was one of the real pioneers because she came in 1967 or 68.
Mm-hmm.
She was I think she was the fifth homeowner.
Fifth homeowner, wow.
We thought, oh my goodness, it's so country. And I mean, we lived in Massachusetts and not exactly a big metropolis, but it was so undeveloped. I mean, there was one little village center, Wild Lake, and so we were kind of a little bit nervous and scared about, you know, what will it actually develop into, but we decided we'd take the chance anyway.
Okay, and your first-year experiences that you can remember, anything that stands out?
Well, I remember thinking that people were a lot friendlier than I had anticipated. Because, of course, nobody really knew each other, so you had to be friendly. Also, I think I was a little thrown off by the fact that you really did have to go out of, you had to go out of the area to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this is going to be nice once it gets built up. But we lived over in Running Brook and Wild Lake because there wasn't too much else.
Yep, that's right. What were your first experiences with the Women's Center?
Let's see. I went in 1971. The first year we moved. We moved in May, and I went in the fall. When I went, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is like kind of a radical women's group because it seemed like so many women were there who had so many different ideas. But then after I continued going, I thought it's a real support group and really a very exciting opportunity for the women who are coming to Columbia.
Mm-hmm. And describe some of the activities that the center presented to women.
We did have actually speakers. Like I remember Barclay Brown came and talked about anger, and then somebody came from the cooperative ministry. And, of course, for me, the big advantage was that there was daycare, and I think that was a big advantage for a lot of women because we didn't have all the preschools and everything that they now have. So most of us were looking for daycare. But there were a lot of opportunities for women to explore almost anything they were interested in. They had, of course, CR groups. They had, I'm trying to think of some of the other things that they did. Oh, they'd have, like, talking about your spiritual growth. This was quite a long time ago, Joe. Trying to think here. Some women were talking about their sexuality, and I know there were a few women who were lesbians who were, you know, trying to figure out how they were going to come out. Just all kinds of different issues.
And how would you evaluate the work that the center did in itself?
As far as the...
Yeah, as far as meeting your needs and meeting the needs of other women.
I think it was excellent. I think that they really did provide a need that was so important here in Colombia. Women were kind of on their own. I mean, I think many women were like me. They'd come because their husband, you know, was either starting a business or had gotten a job in the area. And, of course, Jean came because of Bob. And then she started teaching those women in literature classes. So we were all very, you know, much needing to have a place where we could connect. And I think it could have been very much a, you know, Stepford Wife type of thing, where women were just left at home and the men were out. But that really didn't happen because of the Women's Center.
Were you aware of the fact at the time when you were moving into an area where there weren't many women at all who worked in positions of authority at the Rouse Company, and the whole idea of selling Columbia was based on male domination, woman, stay home with children kind of life?
No.
it really is true. You know, I some of the advertisements today would just stun you, I think. What's a man to do? Wife with that, with this, you know, wife at home, and, you know, stereotypes of the daughters, you know, being one, and, you know, the young man is a genius, and the daughter loves to have her own horse, and things like that. They're really bad.
No, I guess we didn't see those.
No, it's good. I'm glad you didn't.
We probably wouldn't see here otherwise.
Yeah, and I've asked other people the same question. They say, geez, I never thought of that. And it's really true. In Josh Olson's biography of Rouse, he talks about as much of an open person that he was, he just had this blind spot as far as
gender.
Well, yeah, and gender, you know, I think his ideal was his own mother, who had a great influence on him, but it was always, her influence was in the house. His father is the one that influenced him intellectually, and I don't think he ever escaped that, and I don't think there was anything consciousness about it. I can never remember anyone saying that he exhibited prejudice against women. It was just in the outward parts of that. Why did the Women's Center end?
You know, I really don't know. I know that it went from 1969 to 1980. I know that because we had a reunion in 1990, and it was the 10-year reunion. I stopped going to it in 1975 because that's when I started teaching full-time. And I think that maybe that's what happened. I think there still were some women who were, you know, continuing to feel like they needed the Women's Center. But more and more women were going into the workforce, I think. Mm-hmm. In a way, it did what it was supposed to do. It encouraged women to become independent and to follow their own dreams and, you know, go get educated or get a job or do whatever. But I think by succeeding, they kind of succeeded themselves out of business.
Oh, that's a very good way of putting it. And women that I've interviewed have said the exact same thing. So it must be right on the mark. What do you remember about that 1990 reunion? I wasn't aware of that. Do you have any memories of that?
Well, oh, yes. That was wonderful. Well, we had, I think, a couple of speakers, and then we had a lot of women sharing what had happened to them since they had, you know, in the 10 years since they had left since the Women's Center had closed. And at the end, they asked all of, I'm pretty sure Helen was there. They asked all of us to write down what we were now doing and, you know, what we valued and what had changed in our lives. And they put it together in a booklet. I actually have the booklet someplace if you would like to look
at it. If you could find it, I'd really love to look at that because, you know, that would give me access to a lot of people that I'm not going to have the time to interview.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is, Joe, I think the funny part is that we all still put, because one of the part of the question was, where are you now and what are you valuing? You know, just, I think it was, they gave us 10 minutes or something to write it down. And most people wrote they still valued their family very strongly, their children. But you could see that people had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
They had definitely, you know, most of them were either in a new career or going back to school or, you know, practicing psychotherapy or something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really did show that people had gone on and changed their lives.
Now, when you went to teaching, Was that a new career move for you, or is that something you had prepared for before you came to Columbia?
No, I was definitely a teacher.
You were a teacher. Okay. How can you account for a large number of women leaders in Howard County in all fields of endeavor, in Howard County and Columbia in particular? I mean, it seems to be a phenomenon compared to what's going on in the rest of the state. Do you have any idea why or what factors made that possible?
Well, I do. One big part of the Women's Center was leadership training. They had a Maryland leadership training group that came in, and they also encouraged women to do any kind of leadership position that they could. And they started out by trying to do something within the Women's Center, and then I think branched out. And I think once some women got into leadership positions, they brought other women along. I think it was very definitely a support type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to make sure that you also come along and become a leader. I mean, certainly Jean did that through the flyer.
Yeah, I'm sure she did it, and in a lot of different areas as well.
Yeah. And I think that was one thing that women began to realize from participating in the Women's Center, that they didn't have to compete, that they could bring people along and nurture them and get them prepared to be leaders also.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is reflective today. Well, wow, that's a lot of information in a very short period of time. And do you have anything else you would like to add regarding, you know, the whole concept of women in Columbia?
No, of course, for me, I know that one thing that came up at the reunion was it said many women divorced, but some people stayed with their partners. Well, of course, I was one who divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have an entirely different life. So for me, those 10 years from 1970 to 1980 were really critical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many, many, many things happened.
Yeah, and you found the support that you needed?
I felt like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly felt like I did.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And if I do come across that...
Yeah, please do.
...that booklet, I will either... Well, I think we have brunch or lunch in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So I'll give it to him.
Oh, that would be great, Mary Margaret. Thanks.
And good luck with
Thank you. We're coming to the last 2 months, so
okay.
We're just putting the final touches on it. So we hope it comes out well. As I tell everybody, this is a damn good story, and I hope I don't screw it up.
Oh, you certainly won't. And you're right. It is a good story.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's a fantastic story. And there have been so many serendipitous discoveries along the way, just purely accidental, that turn out to be absolute gems.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's
been a real thrill. Well, listen, give my best to Dan
and
the family. How's Jeannie doing?
Oh, she's good.
Baby's doing fine?
Yeah, she's getting big, huh?
Oh, my God.
They don't stay little.
No, they don't.
All right,
okay,
Joe, take
thank
care.
You, Mary Margaret. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.